Hello, my name is Yanina Yackel Rivera. I'm a wife to Will and a mom to our two boys. At the forefront, you should know that I was shocked and am honored to share with you today. Reverend Myra can confirm with my immediate, full-on, ugly cry when she asked me. Secondly, I was raised on Bruce and Jesus. Bruce being Springsteen, and Jesus being the liberator, not the mascot. Thirdly, but very relevant, I have the gift of tears. I am an excellent crier. Please feel free to cry and laugh with me. I often do both at the same time. I really took it to another level starting April 17th, 2009, while If I Should Fall Behind by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band played, I became a mom for the first time. I gave birth to a beautiful baby boy, Micaiah Ryland Anthony, who is now 15 and a freshman at Wilson High School. There is not much about my life that I knew I wanted to do or be. Intrinsically, I always knew I wanted to be a mom. Micaiah wanted me to share that he loves his outdoor club and that Exit the Board Games are the best. When Micaiah entered preschool, I was nervous and eager. By this point, I knew my three-year-old better than anyone. I was confident in saying something was different about him. I didn't know what or how to even phrase things. I didn't have the language. I did know he was anxious, did not like to get dirty or play with Play-Doh. He detested loud noises with a passion, barely spoke, and liked things a certain way. He didn't move from one task to another easily. Over the first couple of months, we talked a lot with his wonderful teachers. They suggested to get him evaluated. After all the evaluations were completed, we had a meeting. The short version is he qualified for special education, speech, and occupational therapy services outright. Some parents I've met are hesitant or defensive when hearing their child needs an evaluation or a specific service. It can make you question or defend your parenting. It can make you feel like you have failed. Over the years, I have felt on more than one occasion just that. For me, at this meeting, the most prominent feeling I felt was relief. Others were seeing what I was seeing. He needed support in ways I didn't know how to give yet. The longer part of that meeting was discussing that he might be autistic. We saw a specialist, and he was officially diagnosed with autism and hyperlexia, which essentially means he loves his letters and numbers. I also learned through that appointment that one of the reasons he hadn't been diagnosed yet, as he was now almost five, was a special interest he had. For someone who is autistic, a special interest is a highly focused level of interest in a particular subject. His was anything medical. I didn't know that was a thing, but the hint might have been when he became obsessed at three with the digestive system and wanted to talk about stomach villi a lot. It also meant he talked to doctors more than anyone else, which wasn't a realistic expectation or representation of how he acted socially with others. It also meant my gut was right. Every time for years I was told, he'll grow out of it, he's fine, oh don't worry. And it rubbed me the wrong way, my gut was right. Now, 99% of the people who said things like this, including doctors, were not malicious. They were trying to support our family, to support me. It did etch something inside of me that I carry to this day. I am the expert on my children, that although I am wholly imperfect, I am a good mother. It means I do my children a disservice to question my instincts. I can question the way something will get done or is tested. I can question accommodations and modifications made to support them, but I will never question that my voice to advocate for them is less than anyone else's. When Micaiah was about 2, we started trying for another child. It did not go as planned. I was diagnosed with PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome. It felt as though I was constantly carrying this mountain with me. Every month felt like I was on the chopping block. Every month I felt at fault. Every month I felt less. After 6 years, 1 week, and 6 days, a few doctors, a lot of invasive treatments and needles, I became pregnant with our second boy. While Rosalita by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band was playing, Sebastian Arthur Lee was born on June 22nd, 2017. That's him, by the way. Before Sebastian was 2, we all knew that Sebastian needed evaluations. Sebastian was diagnosed with autism and ADHD. In contrast to Micaiah, who is sensory adverse, Sebastian is sensory seeking. You will often see him jumping, jumping, and jumping. He loves dirt. He creates art installations all over the house with whatever his heart desires. At Mass, you can find him rolling around in the pews or spinning on a pillar and just being his giggly self. He loves the music. When it stops, he starts talking. In addition to all this, he is non-speaking. That might sound confusing. He doesn't speak, but that doesn't mean he is silent. He is the loudest non-speaker you will ever meet. Currently, he uses his own gestures and sounds, a few signs in ASL, and his AAC device to communicate. That is the goal, for him to communicate, not necessarily to speak, to have autonomy over using or not using his voice. It's his body. I made a lot of decisions very early on about parenting. I wanted to be intentional with motherhood. I knew there would be times when doing my best was all I could give. Those days deserve the rare pat on the back I give myself just as much as the days I feel like a fantastic mother. Thinking about the bigger picture, I came up with a few ideas that have helped me move forward. I decided our family would have a monthly service project to connect us locally and globally, to model that taking care of myself isn't a luxury. I don't have to be productive in order to make sure I do something fun or just even to eat. This has become a core tenet for me. Love intervenes. That love is more than a feeling. Love means taking action. That action can be supporting someone or listening. It can be kissing boo-boos or reading the same book for at bedtime for the 9,000th time, fighting for a diagnosis or a therapy. Love intervenes by showing up to protests, sometimes with the kiddos in tow, teaching about what it means to be a part of our community in big and small ways, and standing with someone when they are in the midst of a storm, not trying to fix or save them. It's not just wishing the best for others, but actively working to do the best for all. In the story of the Ascension, he teaches us about community, the apostles coming together to move forward, to share God's love and grace, to stay together in spiritual unity. I have been a part of a few different communities before I came here. I only had Micaiah at the time, but often people would give us strange looks, comment on his untypical behavior, or tell us this was a solemnity, children should probably stay home, or flat out say, no, he can't be a part of this. At Spiritus Christi, I have seen the teachings of the apostles at work, the way my sons are thanked for coming to Mass. And when I'm alone, I'm asked, where are they? And told that they are missed. I'm greeted and hugged and supported. Shout out to the Thursday night crowd who has embraced me with the most wonderful open arms, and my kids too. After years of feeling out of place, I finally feel at home. Who knew Lenten soup suppers could change my life? In this space, we are all treated with the same dignity. My boys are treated with the same dignity. We see in Acts, the apostles ask Mary to unite them in prayer after the ascension. Mary, who has been with them as a spiritual mother from Cana to Pentecost. As a kid, I have a very vivid memory of sitting in Mass at about 5 or 6 years old and looking at the priest during his homily, thinking, I want to do that someday. Then getting just a little bit older, learning that I wouldn't be able to because I was a girl. Now, here I am, fulfilling a dream I thought would never come true, in a space where we look to women as rightful spiritual leaders. In the gospel today, Jesus ascends after 40 days. As he is leaving, he says, I am always with you. Always is a lot. Always is the sleepless nights and the constant mental load we carry. Being a parent of disabled children means we might never have an empty nest. We will always be actively parenting. Despite all of that, we can't always be with everyone we love at all times. I was a ball of emotions on Micaiah's first day of high school. I'm a wreck sending Sebastian on the bus every year with him, not being able to ask for help if he needed it. Even though we are physically apart, I hope they can feel I am still with them. When we hear Jesus say, I am always with you, time and space don't matter. He is the same God continually showing up for us, holding space for us. My favorite Bible passage is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Stand firm then, brothers and sisters, and keep the traditions that we taught you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has given us his love and through his grace, such ceaseless encouragement and such sure hope, encourage you and strengthen you in every good word and deed. May you feel his ceaseless encouragement. May you feel such sure hope. May you be strengthened in this community. May you encounter every human with dignity. May you feel the constancy of love and grace. And may you see love intervene in your life. To Micaiah and Sebastian, I am always with you. Happy Mother's Day to all of those here and online, especially my super supportive family and friends. I hope your day is bursting with joy and peace. An extra special Mother's Day to my cousin Heather, and Mother's Day and birthday to my mother who are here with us today. Thank you, Spiritus family.